What's your Thanksgiving song?
No.
The cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great.
Len.
Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking.
Len.
The whole world's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Len.
Us for thanking
Stop.
You.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Oh, the turkey looks great. Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Please.
Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking. The whole
Len.
World's thanking you. Thanking
Stop.
Us for thanking you.
Do you know anything about the Clavis Salomonis?
Not specifically. If you refresh my memory, I might be able to.
I don't have any idea. He just mentions it in part of this long, overwrought question, so I'm going to skip that. He just
sure, said, number. I'll try and.
He uses it as an example. He uses such as the Clavis Salomonis. So I don't know what. I don't know.
Well,
where beings are described that seem to have a bit in common with the description of the Greys. I think he's also sort of asking, like, are these entities that you can. I'm just.
Could you call them down? Could you call them down and paint them green? If you can, I don't know anything about it. I know that Aleister Crowley, who formed the OTO, the AA, the Astrum Argentum, and the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, he claimed to have gotten his knowledge from a being called Iwas. And Iwas, when he drew him, looks pretty much like a UFO gray. They're practically identical. Now, you can read into that whatever you want to or read out of that whatever you want to. It could be an interesting coincidence. Maybe he really did have some kind of contact. I don't know. He seems to believe that he had some kind of contact, but he was a very, very squirrely guy. He was hooked up with MI6. A lot of occult figures are hooked up with government intelligence, just like the Elizabethan court.
Yeah.
They frequently end up that way. I mean, look, if they're teaching you psychic shit or how to implement psychic shit, they want to put it to use if they can.
Right,
so,
exactly.
It's possible that he actually had some kind of contact. As to whether or not any of his summoning rituals would bring them down, I couldn't tell you. And I'm not sure he could tell you either.
Yeah, it's a weird question. Anyway, so do you know you're familiar with the work of Bud Hawkins, right? We're jumping to the next question
sure.
here. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you recall the Manhattan UFO abductions? These are the abduction, I
oh,
think
yeah.
it's. Yeah. He wants to know what you think of that case, and if you think it's an instance of the intelligence community influencing Hopkins.
That was the intelligence community just feeding him a load of shit. They got some people. As a matter of fact, one of the people that was coming up with that story was hooked up with some foreign ambassador. Yeah, that was an intelligence op. They were just putting him on.
It does seem kind of funny. Now, I never really thought about it, but when you look back on it, it does seem kind of like he just... I don't know the exact details of the case, but he just happened to see some kind of like, right? Isn't that kind of like, there was a certain amount of like, this is a groundbreaking coincidental
right.
thing.
Right.
When then you look at
in
it,
theory,
you look
this
back
guy
on
witnessed
it.
People, this guy witnessed people being sucked up into UFOs. It was levitating up into the sky.
Yeah, and wasn't it somehow tied in with the UN or something?
Yes, this had to do with the foreign ambassador. This guy
right.
was a driver for the ambassador, as I recall.
Yeah.
The second I heard the whole ambassadorial business, you know, immediately I'm just smirking and saying, look, you know, this is a story. You're just covered with a bunch of BS. I can't believe that a bunch of people from another planet who are quite capable of abducting people underneath everyone's noses without anybody seeing it would just do it right in front of you. That makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah. Well, the only way it does make sense is if it was orchestrated for you to see.
Yeah, it was just a story. Look, guys like Hopkins and David Jacobs, and they tried to do it to John Mack, and Mack talked about it. It's that bit of trying to sow disinformation stories. Mack spotted them, you know, and he got rid of them. He was a psychiatrist. He was able to spot somebody who was giving him bullshit. And he had to boot some people because they would, you know, infiltrate. And the problem with Hopkins and Jacobs is they infiltrate a lot easier. It's a lot easier to spoon feed them some crap. They're very intelligent and they have come across something legitimate and they're doing a good job of publicizing it, which is exactly why someone is infiltrating them to give them a bunch of BS. Because if you can get some BS sewed in with it, you may be able to discredit the rest. And to a certain extent, that worked with Hopkins and with Jacobs, which is unfortunate because Jacobs' first book, Secret Life, is really fantastic. He did a really good job of that book. But after that, he bought all the stories. They Benowitzed him. They pulled the Paul Bennett business on him.
Do you think he was really murdered, or you actually just got hit by a car? I think he just got hit by a car.
You don't flip a coin on that. I don't know about Mac.
Yeah. Well, he was... There's nothing... The people who... The three wise men of abduction research pretty much got wiped out. So it's like, two of them are dead, and the other one, like, caught up in a big sex scandal. So...
Jacobs got caught up in a sex scandal?
No. Yeah. It doesn't really...
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. He's still around. Look up Google Emma Woods. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, I'm checking out. I'm curious now.
I'm going to give the short thumbnail version because my dear friend Jeremy Vanney and Jeff Ritzman, they pretty much broke this story. But yeah, he was working with some lady and she had tapes of the abduction of the he was hypnotizing her over the phone, and the things took a very weird sexual turn. To the point where it was like, I don't know if this has anything to do with abduction research. Or he was like, you need to buy a chastity belt because the aliens are molesting you, and I can tell you where to buy a chastity belt, so you need to go do that. And it's like, whoa. And he's like, you should send me your underwear, no matter. Don't worry about it. We'll check it for alien DNA. Yeah. And there's audio recordings of the stuff, so I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn. It's amazing. This happened 5 years ago, I should contact Vaney. But it's like, in light of today's current climate, he should be beating the drum about this story because people would actually listen. Because 5 years ago, no one cared. No one even listened to it. So,
in his defense, if that's all that was, he might have been doing the same thing that police do with trying to gain, samples for rape cases and something like that. In his defense, I can...
I'm sure that's his reasoning, but... Yeah, I, from what I can gather, from what I've looked into, it seems very untoward, let's say.
Yeah, I'd have to actually privy to the conversation of the recording. If I heard the recording, I could tell you.
Yeah, well, Google it and look into it, but, I mean, it's one thing to want to get samples. It's another thing to tell somebody to buy a chastity belt. So it's like that alone.
He went a little loopy.
They
fed him a whole lot of crap. The difference between his second book, The Threat, which tells you everything you need to know. And his first book, Secret Life, is night and day, like flipping a light switch. He went from doing an extremely enlightened and very thorough job of mapping UFO abductions, and I think he did an incredible job with it, to all of a sudden throwing these Paul Benowitz stories of, oh, my God, we're being invaded, the hybrids are going to take over, they're going to wipe out the human race, we're all going to become slaves, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And like flipping a light switch. Like, what was it, 2 years difference between these books? And that's just because he got a bunch of disinformation stories from false abductees. He wasn't able to spot them as quickly as John Mack was. John Mack was a trained psychiatrist. He could tell when someone was BSing him.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems like the abduction thing went off the rails just in general. So it's, it's a very interesting...
That was the goal.
You think, to pivot away from these people, though, do you think that I mean, what do you think of the abduction phenomenon? Do you think it's happening? Do you think it's real? Do you think it's, in on this with me.
I definitely think it's real. It's definitely happening. I think Jacob's first book had pegged everything very well. He was actually just mapping. He was taking all these different abduction stories and finding the commonalities and the correlations. And there were a stunning number of them, down to particulars. And it's sort of particulars that you can't imagine people who didn't know each other inventing. I'm sure he got it right. And I've known a couple of people who match that profile perfectly. I have talked with them. One of them does know that they are an abductee. We've talked about it. I never go around and suggest to someone that they might be an abductee because that would be irresponsible, even if they do match the profile. But if they happen to match the profile and they ask me about it and they think they are themselves, I'll listen to them and I'll kind of weigh it. I mean, I can't tell them whether they are or not. I don't know. But I can at least weigh it and make an educated guess. But that's only if they're investigating it themselves and if they already think they might be. Otherwise, it would be irresponsible for me to suggest otherwise.
Hmm.
But yeah, Jacobs did some fantastic work when he first started out. And just, they drove it nuts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And now all this other shit came up. So, you know. And I know the. And it's funny. It's like. I can say with fair certainty that it's not some, like, conspiracy to take him down, because these are my buddies who. unless this lady was somehow involved. But I know at least on the.
More than likely the lady was involved.
Well, Google it and find out. You'll just check it out. You'll find a lot of interesting stuff there.
Yeah. The sad thing is, he really didn't need to do too much to take Jacobs down. He's been doing it himself since the threat, which is very unfortunate because he was a very, very promising researcher. He was doing very well.
Yeah, but also at the same time, too, it's like you can only go so far being the guy that says that aliens are invading the Earth. Like, first of all, people have been saying that for, like, probably forever, or at least since we knew there were there are other planets, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
sure.
It's like you're just the latest lunatic to be like, they're invading us. We need to, you know, no matter what your credentials are. So it's like,
sure.
You're speaking to a very limited audience once we're being invaded by aliens guy.
Well, that was why Mac was so crucial. He was a guy with a great deal of credibility. He's a professional psychiatrist. He's a professional author. He'd won prizes. And, you know, this was a guy, and he was taking it very seriously. I don't think he mapped things out as well as Jacobs did, but he did add a tremendous amount of credibility to the subject.
So why do you think they're abducting people?
A number of reasons. There are different scenarios. One, they're having trouble with their own reproduction, and they need some side genes to help them. Now, mind you, I believe that the race behind this is entirely human. They're as human as you or I. And if you met one, you wouldn't know the difference. There might be some subtle differences, but you probably, if a guy walked up to you off the street, he could be an alien and you wouldn't know it. So they are reproducing with us. They're reproducing human offspring, and they are taking them someplace else. They might be starting life up on another planet. That is a possibility, and certainly in the ancient myth texts, there's a great deal to support that. That's how life got started here, according to those texts.
Yeah.
And according to, you know, American Indian oral tradition and stuff like that. So that's part of it. Given that mind control is involved, there's no question of that. Very advanced mind control. Given that mind control is involved and that UFOs are involved in sabotage activity down here as far as nuclear development and space development, it is quite possible, and I consider it even probable, that some abductees are used for sabotage activity, of which they would not even be aware, which is why they're sleeper agents, in other words. And that's
for the aliens?
Primary reasons. What now?
For the aliens?
Yeah. That would be one of the primary reasons that the government keeps tabs on them. Let's just say that they are ongoing people of interest. We'll put it that way.
But they don't. But what would they be programmed to do? I'm not being cheeky. I'm trying to figure this out. Keep up. So, like to do something like terrorists or something, or what? Like alien terrorists in a sense?
Well, I would not use the word terrorist because I don't believe that they injure or kill people. But
okay.
I do know that. Let me put it this way: when UFOs are in the area, guaranteed, they are going to perform sabotage on nuclear and space facilities around the world. Guaranteed. Now, they might need some help doing that. And they might need someone who can put on a uniform and go in and pretend to be some military officer, for instance. And in that instance, yeah, I could see that being used. They could be used in some way.
Jesus. So you don't think the UFOs are just turning the nukes off with their own technology?
Run that by me again. I didn't quite hear it.
So you don't think the UFOs are just turning the nukes off with their own technology?
Not entirely. There might be instances where they would need some more hands-on application. And those would be instances where I think they would be involved in sabotage. Now, this is a guess on my part. It is an educated guess. But it makes sense to me. There's a reason that the governments of the world pay very, very serious attention to UFOs.
Yeah.
And that would be very high on the list. These people are under mind control, foreign government. So foreign it doesn't even come from this planet. If they are under mind control, that's sophisticated. They could be employed for that use. And if they could be employed for that use, they have to be regarded as potentially being employed for that use.
Yeah. What do you know about the Tuatha De Danann?
What's Danann?
I don't know. It says an Irish, a supernatural race in Irish.
Oh, the Donna. The Donna.
Yeah.
The Tuatha De Danann.
The Donna.
Yeah, I wrote about them. I wrote about them extensively in Architects.
Are they linked to Mars or Earthly only? That's the question someone wants to know. And are they still around?
Oh, yeah, they're still around. And, yeah, they're linked to Mars. We're linked to Mars. We're their cousins. We're
yeah,
their
it sounds like what you're trying to say, in a sense, is like that maybe even not just us and whatever's on Mars, but like we're like Delaware in the 50 states of aliens here. Like there's way
yeah,
more,
exactly.
and they're all like us or a little bit like us or somewhat different, just like there's like people in Africa and people in America and people in Asia, you know.
Sure. Yeah, my view is that we're their descendants. Now, these are the people that we've historically called the gods, and that's who the Donnan were. We now call them the fairy folk. They actually used to call them the fair folk. And we put the diminutive Y on when the church demonized them. They're just like human beings, indistinguishable from human beings, and this is part of the actual lore. If one of them walked up to you, you wouldn't know that he was Donnan. I mean, unless he revealed it to you and proved it. So, yeah, we're their descendants, and, yeah, they're still around. Those are the guys that are sending the UFOs here. They're going back to the root.
Yeah. So they're here and they're like, what, calling the UFOs to come back?
Well, let me put it this way. If the Donnan are still on Mars, or who knows where all they are now, I don't know what the limits of their technology are. Maybe they've gotten other star systems. Maybe they came from other star systems. We don't know the limits of their technology.
Oh, okay. So these are like the same as an alien almost. Like,
yeah,
so we're kind of like tracing. All right. Okay. Because I was imagining like elemental beings and shit. But you're saying.
Oh, no.
Like,
I'm
okay.
Talking about them being human beings. They're our root.
Yeah,
race.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
They're just more scientifically advanced than we are.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like, yeah, it does connect to Mars. It frustrates me now when we talk about it because it's like we're not really. I would wish we could find these. These things out, you know, for certain, but it's very hard to get there. Now I'll wrap up Joe V's question so we can keep jamming and get past the questions here. He wants to know his final question. Beer. He had other questions, but I limited him to a few this year. He wants to know what are you drinking for Ruxgiving? He's trying to narrow his choices down to three: Breckenridge Vanilla Porter. But he's not sure on the other two. Any suggestions? He's looking for either a porter or a pilsner. So what are your Ruxgiving drink suggestions this year? Someone says Sasquatch Stout in the chat room.
Well, the vanilla porter is a little too sweet for me. I have had it. I've tried vanilla porters from several different manufacturers. As a matter of fact, I think I've had Breckenridge. It's a little too sweet for me, but a lot of people like it that way. So you want to weigh that in. I'm more of a dark lager and stout drinker. Right now, I am drinking a Guinness draft. I frequently drink Guinness Extra Stout. I drink a lot of dark lagers. Denver Brewery's 1916 is one of my favorites. What else? Claymore is my favorite, Claymore Ale. They're by Great Divide. That thing is aptly named. It'll whop you upside the head. Or a good pilsner. I do like pilsners. I don't drink them too often. I'm trying to think of the name of the company. They make good stouts, and they also make good pilsners. You wouldn't have any trouble recognizing them because they've always got naval. They have skeletons dressed in naval garb of the 17th and 18th century.
That sounds like right up your alley, right there.
Yeah,
the picture.
It is. Very much so. And like I said, I can't remember the name of the company, but that's
not Murphy's, right?
No.
Okay.
But it's that's what they use for their advertising. Their pilsners and their stouts are very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of someone's here says Penny. I assume they mean Pliny. Pliny the Elder, Russian River Brewery here in Santa Rosa, someone recommends, and Dark Sakarskum, good old dark one, Barrel Brothers. So there's your – I don't know those beers at all.
I don't either. I wouldn't mind trying them.
I heard they made a beer in honor of the Upside Down from Stranger Things. Have you watched Stranger Things?
No, I haven't. If they would make it available in any way other than streaming service, I would be glad to watch it.
Right. Now, all right, that wraps up the questions, folks. So thank you. Thank you to Joe V., Klaus Hager, Gaston Clement, Kirk Walker, Kip Carbone for sending in questions. Hopefully we got to all of them, as many as we could, and Joe V. sent in, I actually counted with all the subclauses and shit, he actually sent in 14 questions, which is like, that's, as I said, if you ever form a cult, he's your ideal, he could be your Tex Watson, essentially.
Well, I won't be forming a cult. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Right. Well, just based on the, yeah, I assume he'll drift off into some other cult eventually anyway. So it's like he's crying out for a cult.
I hope not. That's usually the case. Now, the Rosicrucians, interestingly, don't really accept people like that. Not usually. And when they do, they kind of get rid of them pretty quick.
Yeah, I could see how he'd be not fit for a secret society. But he actually, I hope people don't think I'm picking on him. I went to high school with Joe V, so he's actually the voiceover guy of when the show starts. But every year he sends in way too many questions for you. Like literally, dude, I counted them, 14. So that's I think I broke it down now eventually to like 5 tonight.
Actually have some good ones.
Well, those are the ones I picked out. So I think one of them was like, honestly, like one of them questions was like, how come all these great musicians keep dying, but Madonna's still around? It's like, I said to him, I was like, this is a question for your shrink or your pastor, man. I don't know why he needs to know. So now he snuck in another question because I'm mocking them. But why has Madonna lasted so long when Tom Petty couldn't make it?
Well, it has a lot to do with drugs. Some people just do too many drugs, you know, and they get depressed. You have a lot of artists. Look, a lot of artists are depressed. Depression is great for creativity. It really is. I can speak to that myself. I do my best work when I'm depressed. So there's a lot to say about that, but I don't do drugs. And they do a lot of drugs. You combine depression and drugs, you've got some psychological problems, things aren't working out too well for you, and eventually, oops, you just go a little too far.
Yeah. Somebody, you're cool to go past the hour, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Nice.
Have we gone that far, really?
Yeah, we've already gone 2 hours, so we got 10 minutes left. So they only let me do 3 hours, so I won't keep you, I promise I won't keep you any longer than that. So I remember one year, I think you're the one that, it was either you or Tyler Coke, John, where we like broke the thing. We went past 3 hours, and it was like, oh, shit, we stopped making a show like 20 minutes ago. So I learned the hard way that lesson.
Hmm.
But somebody wants to know any update on re-releasing the books. Seems like, yeah, every year we talk about this. How come people can't get like this on the Kindle and shit yet?
Well, I don't know what I'm doing is the answer to that. That's the Reader's Digest version. I just don't know what the best way to go about it is. I need to self-publish now. And I will need to go through a self-publishing company. It will cost me some money to do so. If I knew the best route to go with that, then I would have done that a long time ago. But
yeah.
I don't have any advice. I don't have anyone who really knows what they're talking about or who can help me out with it. So I'm just kind of, you know, stuck with my thumb up my butt.
I tell you what, this is what I'm thinking, because I'm just spitballing here, but I'm working on a lot of projects for after Banal of America ends. But I'll have this time on my hands. I need to fill it with actual projects. That's kind of what I've been thinking a lot lately, because it's like, all right, well, we're going to wrap up the show in January or so. So it's like, then I can get started on these projects. But I need to, like, really do these projects to or else I'm just going to end up sitting around playing this game you were just telling us about. So
there you go. Not a bad way to kill your time.
We should talk after Rucksgiving and after the holidays and after I wrap up the season. You and I will work together and we'll get these books out to people.
Sounds good to me.
You know, I'll figure
I'm
it out. We'll put our heads together and we'll figure out how to do this. Do you have the rights to do this?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If you
have
the rights to put the books out again, people are like dying.
I have to buy the rights back, but it's not expensive, and I can do it at any time.
All right. Yeah. Well, we could always do like a GoFundMe thing anyway. If it's not too expensive, we could be like, we need $1,000 to buy Bruce's books back. So. You know, and if
it actually
pledge,
cost me $300 to buy both of them back. When you actually go to a self-publishing company, you have to give them a certain amount of money to get the thing started too. It's not a lot. I don't know. That's something I need to look into.
All right. Well, I tell you what, that's, you know, if you're down, dude, I'm down and we'll figure it out. And, yeah, we'll make that one of the post BOA audio projects if we can get it done.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I do want to get it done. Just so they're available. I mean, they're kind of available now. You can find them used, but sometimes they go through cycles. Sometimes they're just not as available as at other times, and they'll try gouging you for ridiculous amounts of money, where other times you can pick them up pretty cheap.
Yeah, they're crazy on Amazon. They're wicked crazy. I think I paid a lot of money for my Hollywood verse, and I think I don't even have Architects because it was like when I checked at the time, it was like over $100 or like something crazy like that, like $60 maybe or something insane.
Keep checking.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Keep checking. Sometimes I've seen them go as high as like $300 or $400. That's just ridiculous. Don't do that.
Hence why I don't have it. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, right. I'm sure it's luck of the draw. I don't know if they have like an alert system or what. They should like have that where you can, you know, they alert you when it comes up at a certain price.
I know other times they're really inexpensive, not a problem at all. I had someone who wanted a copy, and I was out of them. But I know someone who wanted a copy, and they didn't have access to Internet to order. So I ordered one for them. I got Hollywood vs. the Aliens for, I think it was, I don't know, $11.
Oh, nice.
And maybe a couple bucks shipping. It was $4 shipping maybe for that now. So yeah, it was like a total of $15, which is perfectly reasonable, and less than you would have bought it at cover price. So, and other times, you know, it's like $500. I laugh. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on. This is a book of the world worth $500 goddamn. Look, 500 years old.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, that's how they get you, I guess. Yeah, we would add other shit to it, too. So we'd like, you know, because the books haven't been out for a while.
Well, technically, they went out of print, I want to say about 5 years ago. About that?
Yeah, it's been a while. How come you never, like, aside from staying on appearing on Banal of America all the time, how come you never really, like, got back into all this shit?
Well, first off, there's no money in it. Second off, there's a hell of a lot of work for being no money in it. Third off, I've pretty well said everything I needed to say, and there's not much to add, though that never stopped Sitchin.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a number of others.
Almost all of the others.
Yeah, almost all of the others.
Dude,
really,
you're like the
recycle.
Exception to the rule. You're like the pro wrestler that really retires.
Yeah, they just recycle their own stuff, and yeah, I could do that. But, you know, again, I'd have to find a publisher or self-publish it, and if I was going to self-publish it, I might as well just put my old books out because I covered it all. I could be wrong, and I'm the first person to admit that on any of it. I'm pretty firmly convinced that I'm right on just about all of it, except for particulars, which I'm still working on.
Yeah. Has anything ever come up that's changed your opinion on the stuff you wrote?
Yes and no. One of my ongoing bits of research is into the Celts and the Egyptians, because I stated pretty definitely that the Celts and the Egyptians were pretty much the same people. I still believe that, in the sense that they came from the same Indo-European root. And I can even demonstrate that linguistically and numerically. But I don't quite mean that they're the same people. I mean, obviously, they were different tribes. But they came from the same root, very plainly. So I've amended my views a little bit, or fine-tuned them, let's just put it that way. But for a period of time, I almost thought, well, I could be wrong on that because the Egyptians have Afro-Asiatic language. But then I did more research, and lo and behold, there's a hell of a lot of Indo-European in not only the Egyptian language, but in their symbology and their mythology and all of that. So, yeah, I'm still convinced that they came from the same root.
Yeah.
I go in and out. I'm kind of like Einstein. I try and disprove my own theory in order to prove it.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I'm glad I actually asked you that, because Marco Withrow, I knew I missed one. Marco Withrow actually asked if anything's come up lately to sway you from your theory. So we covered that. And he says, thanks, and this is a perfect way to end the live show. He says, thanks, and a great Thanksgiving holiday to the both of you and yours. So.
Oh, well, definitely, and to you, too.
Yes, thank you, Marco, and thank you to all the people that sent in questions. Thank you to the folks who listened live. We're going to keep chatting, though, so don't worry about that. So those folks in the chat room and who are live listening, Gawadi, you ready to pick up the MP3 of this? Ruxgiving 2017. And I don't know. You don't have a website or any social media footprint. That's what I like about you, Bruce. You're elusive as hell.
Well, anyone who wants to get in touch with me, they can just get in touch with you, you know?
Exactly. I'm the filter to Bruce. So that's why I haven't put you in touch with Joe V, dude. I'm scared of... You're going to get pissed. You're going to be like, I'm not doing any more of those stupid Ruxgiving things now. That Joe V guy won't stop emailing me 3 or 4 times a day. It's crazy.
And they're like, Tom DeLong, if you're listening, you want to get in touch with me, you can always get in touch with me if you can.
Yeah, Tom DeLong, reach out to me, and I'll put you in touch with Bruce. And the three of us will have a powwow.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe he'll republish your books.
That would be nice.
Oh, my God. You think I was a bit distracted, I think, when we started the show because of the problems getting the chat room open. So you think this DeLong cat is mixed up in just sort of – you think he's just being disinformed, essentially?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty certain of it. He's sincere. I don't have any doubt at all that he's sincere. But it's the sincere people that are the most easily swayed by disinformation.
Right. Well, I said on the show last week that you know, even if he could have been shown something behind the scenes. I can't get into the chat room to say goodnight. So thank you to all the folks in the chat room again. Have a good night and have a happy Thanksgiving, all the gang out there. Sorry about that. So he could have been shown something, even if it was fake or something. I guess what I was saying last week was like they could have taken him aside and been like, here's some real alien shit. You can't have it. It could be fake anyway. He doesn't know that. It could just be a movie.
And how would you verify it?
Right, exactly. And they just
if someone showed you an alien body, how would you verify that that was an alien body?
Right, exactly. So he therefore then becomes like he becomes a true believer in the sense that he's not a true believer. He knows. He's a knower. You know, he knows because
right.
In his mind, of course, he knows
right.
Because he's seen this thing. I mean, I half think that might be something that goes on and has gone on.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. That's how they get anybody. Look, the classic case in point on this is Stephen Greer. Now, what's happening to Tom DeLong is they're turning him into the new Stephen Greer. He doesn't realize it, but that's exactly what the plan is. Podesta was involved in that nonsense, too. Now, this was late Clinton administration, and the Clintons were very heavy into UFO disinformation. You might remember Greer still claims that he taught the president and the head of the CIA everything they know about UFOs. He believes that. Now, he believes that because the head of the CIA, when he started his whole UFO disclosure project, he's talking to witnesses and all of this, the head of the CIA wanted to meet with him privately. So they arranged a private meeting. He took him to like a nice hotel. They're in like some skylight, top floor, whatever. And it's just the two of them. And the head of the CIA is saying, so tell me everything you know about UFOs. And he discloses everything that he's picked up. Yeah, every witness he's got, all this other stuff.
This
in other words, the head of the CIA is simply taking information from it. That's all.
Right.
He's recording the entire conversation, obviously, and probably saying that he isn't. And there are probably cameras on all of it, too. In any event, he gets in to talk about all this stuff. And then when Greer is done, the CIA head says, I had no idea. I'm the head of the CIA, and I didn't know any of this stuff. You just taught me everything I know about this. I've got to tell the president. And he buys it.
Yeah.
You know, because his ego's fat. He says, well, I met with the head of the CIA privately, and he told me himself. And I'm telling you, yeah. Well, congratulations, Colonel Point. Colonel Logan has made a monkey out of it. And they're doing the same thing to Tom DeLong.
Interesting. But to what end, I guess? What's, because, you know, what's the end game? What's the point to do this?
Ultimately, to discredit. Do you hear anything about the UFO disclosure project anymore? No. It was a circus in Washington, D.C. for about a week. And what came out of the circus? Well, we don't have any proof about UFOs. So that's that. It just helps with the disinformation and deflecting the topic. It doesn't help at all. It hinders and it harms. That's the whole plot. You give people enough information, they start sowing the disinformation out themselves. People discover that it is disinformation down the line, and then you discredit the witness. And the topic goes away again.
Yeah.
The higher the profile, the better the payoff. Tom DeLonge, pretty good profile.
Yeah, and in a sense, too, it's like if the point is to discredit, you know, he's kind of like a goofy face for UFO disclosure.
Yes. And he's a better face than Stephen Greer, I got to say that. Stephen Greer is illiterate. Tom DeLonge isn't. Now, to say Tom DeLonge is probably a great deal more intelligent than Stephen Greer, let's just put it that way, which doesn't mean that he can't be duped. And I'm sure that he is being duped.
Yeah.
The guy that dragged him into this, his gateway into the underworld, so to speak, was Peter Lavenda. Now, Peter Lavenda is a very good researcher, but Peter Lavenda is one of the boys. I actually cited his work on Nazis and the occult in my own books. It's a very good book.
Yeah.
But he's CIA. He belongs to the Retired Intelligence Agents Association or something like that. And when attention was called to that, he laughed off and said, well, that was done just kind of a joke, and I accepted it. Yeah, well, you can say that, but you're a retired intelligence, say, semi-retired intelligence agent. That's why you have a career. And this was the guy who got hooked up with DeLonge and co-wrote the Secret Machine series with him, which I have not read.
Yeah.
So that was the initiation. That was where DeLonge was brought in. From there, he says, well, let me introduce you to the guys behind the scenes who really know what's going on. And they start feeding him stories about crashed aliens and all this other nonsense, and I've heard it all before. So DeLonge gets up on YouTube or what have you, and on whatever talk shows, and he starts repeating the same stories that he's been told that come from behind-the-scenes intelligence sources. They're legitimate behind-the-scenes intelligence sources.
Yeah.
And the information is bullshit, or at least mostly bullshit. There may be a germ of truth to it. But the entire point is they're feeding him this bogus story so he will repeat the bogus story, so that the bogus story will be determined to be bogus down the line, and he will be discredited. That's how that works.
All right. Makes sense. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it seems like a lot of foo-for-all to me.
It's a lot of crap.
That's what I mean, in the sense that it's just sort of like a lot of smoke and mirrors and hype you know. We've all seen it a million times, so... It's just
sadly,
remarkable that these sort of things keep happening.
Yeah, if you're in UFO research, you see this kind of thing all the damn time. You start recognizing Colonel Hogan real quick. The ones that don't, you just laugh at. You laugh at them the same way the intelligence agencies are. Say, dude, they're making a monkey out of you.
Yeah.
Just knock it off. Wake up. Smell the bacon.
Well, when there's a lot of money involved, though, it changes things, too. So
there's a lot of power involved. These people exploit technology. Where do you think we came up with a stealth bomber? Where do you think we came up with microwaves and the personal computer? We've been reverse engineering their shit at least since Roswell, possibly even before.
Yeah.
There's money and power involved in this. They want to keep it secret.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because I want to know the secrets, man.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. What do you think there's going to be... It does seem like a lot of this stuff, as far as the UFO stuff goes, has sort of reached a standstill in a sense where there's nowhere else really to go with it.
There hasn't been anywhere else to go with it for decades, frankly. This is kind of why I think, look, I reached the dead end when I came to my conclusion, and I'm pretty damn sure my conclusions are correct because everything adds up. The sources are legitimate. It adds up. That's the real trick. You got to figure out which sources are legitimate and which ones aren't.
I'm sure we've done this before on the show, but I feel like it's a good jumping off point to explore the nuances of this. So I guess in a super nutshell, what's your conclusion, I guess, as far as like what these UFOs that have been coming here recently or, you know, within the modern UFO era, what are they doing here?
Mostly they showed up because we developed atomic weapons. This UFOs, what we see, are an automated system. They are a maintenance system and sort of a police force at the same time. They are Gort for Klaatu. And Jacques Vallée said the exact same thing in his books. In his last book, I enunciated all of his conclusions, which are exactly the same as my own. And I'm convinced that he's completely correct. It's an automated system. They have control over us, and we have no way to resist them. They've been around for a very long time. They showed up en masse, or we first started noticing them when we had the technology to notice them and when we developed atomic weaponry. They have sabotaged that atomic weaponry from the start. They continue to do so. They sabotage a lot of our space development for exactly the same reason. That's consistent. It's been consistent from the start, and it remains so. So I'm firmly convinced that that's a large part of it. The system that they send down here is automated. They are, like I said, the Gorts for the Klaatus. They are just automata. They do what they're supposed to do.
These like the Greys and shit.
Yes. Yeah, the Greys are just a bunch of robots. They're all vacuformed out of a mold.
What about other alien races purportedly coming here, like Nordics and reptilians?
Well, the reptilians, I think, are just a BS disinfo story. The Nordics are probably them. They're the Donna.
Ah.
They're our ancestors. And, yes, I do think they sometimes show up in person.
That would make sense, yeah.
If they're going to, I would imagine they would do it this year because Mars is parked right next to Earth, like I said, or it's going to be. It's on its way here now. Anytime that Mars and Earth are in very, very close conjunction or opposition, as they call it, UFO sightings and activity shoot off the graph. Jacques Vallée had pegged that perfectly, and it's consistent as a damn heartbeat.
Why is that? Because there's a lot more transit to and from Mars?
Yes, because they're close. It's an easier trip for them. Now, the activity never completely goes away, but it shoots off the graph when they're right next door.
Yeah. I guess I wonder how, like, if you can fly to Mars, what difference does it make how close it is? But maybe there's some, like, scientific-y reason for it, in a sense.
To me, it's very simple. And this is why I'm not really sure that they came from another star system or have gone to another star system, because the technology that's visiting us is plainly coming from Mars. If it's coming from Mars, they're observing launch windows. They're the same launch windows that we observe.
Ah, yeah.
So, obviously their craft are traveling essentially the same way that our craft do. They just do so a hell of a lot easier because the crews are automated. They don't have to have rest or relief facilities. They don't have to have food. They don't have to have sleep.
Yeah.
And they're completely expendable. They're perfect.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think is going on? But I still think it's like these, they made themselves known and shit, so then now they seem like they're gone, in a sense. I mean, I know there's still a lot of UFO sightings and stuff, but it's like are they still around? I feel like they're almost not, but maybe they are, and people just they've normalized it or something.
It just doesn't hit the news.
Yeah.
It doesn't get publicized. Look, all that has to happen, you remember the Phoenix lights?
Yeah.
That was, what, 96, 97, right in there?
Mm-hmm.
Was that 96 or 97? I'm trying to remember exactly when the Phoenix lights were. It could have been 95.
It was 97. It was the anniversary this year.
Right, 97. Okay. The Phoenix lights were so big that the military got on the airwaves. I mean, there were pictures of them. The military got on the airwaves. I don't remember what general it was. He was some top brass. And he said, look, we don't know what these are. If anyone knows, please tell us. He's just openly admitting it. Okay. We go from that to jokes being made about it, to guys wearing gray masks coming out, you know, over the head, rubber masks, stuff like that in front of the governor and
yeah,
making a big joke out of it, and then it just gets swept under the rug. That's how it works. Usually, I'm surprised the media picked up on it at all, but that's how big it was. They were around so much, and they were so huge, and there were so many pictures taken of them, that they couldn't avoid it, so they had to put something out there.
Yeah.
That kind of activity, we may see some of that in the coming year. That's hard to say. There is some evidence that from their end of things, I mean, let's say from Mars, they would like to come out in the open. But we shoot at them. They let themselves be seen, and Belay goes into that, too.
Yeah.
Because, look, it's obvious that they're letting themselves be seen, and very high-profile seen. But then they disappear for a while from public consciousness, and then they'll come back and they'll do it again. It's periodic. And by doing it periodically, it sort of absorbs more into popular consciousness over the decade. I mean, they were doing it back in the 1950s. They flew over the White House twice in 1 week, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And boy, was that front page news. That was really big. So, yeah, they get around and they are busy. And that there does seem to be some indication from their end of things that they would like to eventually disclose. But they must recognize the same problem that we do, which is that it isn't that easy. It's just not that easy.
It's not worth the trouble if you're the aliens, I think.
That would depend. It could be that they need us. I mean, they definitely need us in one sense. I mean, they use us for reproductive activity and stuff like that. And I'm sure that they take resources from this planet. But whether they need to disclose their presence is another matter. I think they would prefer to more or less keep it secret, because for the most part they don't publicize it. And why exactly, we don't know. There are certain things in the agenda that we don't realize, because they're not going to tell us.
Yeah.
At such point that they had to reveal themselves, I'm sure they would. For instance, if nukes started flying, I'm pretty sure that they would prevent that if it was in their power to do so.
Yeah.
And if they had to become visible to do that, they probably would. Look, they were over Chernobyl. They were dampening the radiation coming from Chernobyl. That was actually out in Pravda. And the author of that particular article, which I thought was funny as hell, and it made their news, too, precisely because it hit Pravda. Now, the author of that article ended it by saying that this was proof that the aliens had no respect or consideration for humanity because they didn't prevent Chernobyl. I said, dude, they just dampened your accident. It saved a hell of a lot of lives and probably kept it from going critical. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that sounds like it's an accident, how the aliens supposed to. They're not psychic. the aliens are a lot of things, but they're not psychic, folks.
They helped us bail it out.
Exactly. Well, it's just interesting. I wish we could find out someday, you know. It makes me very sad and whimsical or whatever, you know.
Oh, I feel the same way. Look,
wistful,
I wish,
in a sense, where it's like, ah, geez, you know, these aliens. That's why it's like everyone yearns for the disclosure thing, because they just want to get to the next stage.
We'd like to call the game and move forward. It's time we met the Vulcan.
Right, right. But in a sense, where you and me and people listening to this and the folks enjoying a fine Ruxgiving, we're like way ahead of everybody else. That's why, you know, they're the people who are like obsessed with Black Friday and all the other stuff, you know, they're not ready for this shit.
Well, disclosure will not occur until they make it occur. And once they make it occur, all world leaders are going to be racing to the microphone to say, we knew it all along, and they're going to disclose all the evidence. They're going to put it all out and say, look, we were trying to protect you, and we were trying to get you ready, and they'll prove it. But that won't happen until they start coming down. Until it's V, and they're parked over all of our cities.
Yeah.
Or until it's day the Earth stood still, and they land in, you know, the Washington ballpark and at the Kremlin. It's just not going to get disclosed. Once there's no choice but to have to publicize it, then they will publicize it.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to make the most sense. It seems to be like what, you know, they're not going to, yeah, whoever holds the secrets here are not going to release them to the public unless they absolutely have to, or unless we can figure it out. We're not, you know, the UFO community, you know, they also probably don't have the technology and the wherewithal and the funds and the resources to actually prove it in the way that needs to be proven. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
They could if they were agreed. That's the whole thing. It has to do with agreement. This is international. Look, India knows about this. Pakistan knows about this. France, Belgium, the United Kingdom, Russia, we...
Does North Korea know about it now that they have nukes, you think?
Yes. As soon as someone becomes a nuclear power, UFOs start showing up where they are. That's how India got clued in. India, this is like 15 years ago, in India Daily, the Indian defense minister said the exact same shit about UFOs that I did. They were sabotaging sites, their nuclear sites, and they were working on a space program, and that was getting sabotaged too. They immediately thought it was the Russians or the United States. Both Russia and the United States went to India, and they said, congratulations, now you're a member of the club. Now you know what we know.
Maybe that's the whole thing with where they like don't want North Korea to get a nuclear weapon, where it's like a nuclear weapon is really just a euphemism for getting into the alien club. And
oh, trust
they
me.
Don't want
They're already
them.
There.
I know, but when you like if you take a look at all of the news, you know what I'm saying, or now if you look at it with that perspective where it's like they don't give a fuck about the nuclear bomb because like they can't. You know, if they launch it, the aliens will blow it up or whatever. We know that, you know, for some reason. And so, therefore, we just don't want them to know about the fucking aliens.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they can't come
out
and say it.
Once they get far enough, and trust me, Korea is far enough, they know. Their stuff is being sabotaged, not only by us, but their stuff is being sabotaged by the guys upstairs, too.
What do you mean?
I mean the aliens are sabotaging Korea the same way that we are.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, maybe if they – there is no real imminent threat of them, like, bombing America because that's not actually possible maybe. You know, I'm speaking in a theoretical, speculative way.
Yeah, I highly doubt it.
What do you doubt?
That they would attack us. Or that they even really could.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, if they got something out fast enough, they might be able to hit Guam or Japan and, you know, or South Korea, God help us. We certainly don't want that to happen.
Right, right, right. But what I'm saying is, like, that the aliens would... I'm just sort of speaking hypothetically that the aliens would blow up a nuke before it could blow up, is what I'm saying.
I like to believe that. I want to believe that. I do believe that, but I don't know what their limitations are.
Yeah, that makes sense. If they couldn't stop an accident.
Exactly.
Who knows
they
if they
could
stop, stop
they,
one
they
that...
Couldn't stop, they couldn't stop Chernobyl.
Right, like maybe they could stop one if it was shot in the air, but like if you just drove it over to like Seoul in a truck, like there's nothing they, you know, the aliens would be like, oh shit, what happened there? You'd hope.
It's possible something could slip by them. I don't know what their limitations are. They make mistakes. They crash. They crash to Roswell. It happens. That's part of the reason I believe they're completely human. They make mistakes too. They have accidents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do get the sense that we seem all connected to this thing in a way that is interesting. And it's like the idea, I think there is something to the idea that they can't reveal themselves because it's also like they talk about all these hostile aliens and shit, you know, and it's like they don't reveal themselves either. And if they were really hostile and shit, they would just take over the world. So it's like...
Because they could.
Right, exactly.
Look, if they can sneak people out of their bedrooms and slip them back in a house full of people and nobody knows, even the people that are taken, yeah, they could kill any of us individually or en masse anytime they wanted.
Right, right.
But they don't.
So it stands to reason, I guess, that maybe there is some kind of like even a prevention system for the hostile aliens.
Well, here's the thing. That's another one of the scenarios. When I just have to hearken to sci-fi when it comes to scenarios. Here's another possibility. They might have to disclose themselves at some time if there is a mutual threat. And at that point, they might have to come out and say, look, it was Galactica 1980. They say, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but there are Cylons on the way here, and we got to do something about it. Or this island Earth. And same thing.
Yeah,
look,
yeah,
your technology is not up to fighting what's coming to you. They're as much a threat to us as they are to you.
Let's team up.
That's right. We need to get you up to speed so that you can help us.
Yeah, you need an army.
Yeah. That is a possible scenario.
That would be cool. I'd go to war with Venus.
Who wouldn't go to war with Venus? That bitch. No arms, and she's still attacking us.
Yeah, well, that would be... I still think they're going to, like, do a reverse disclosure and be like, they're going to find, like, ruins on Mars. And then they're going to work backwards, like, from there. That's my theory.
That would be a great place to start, considering we have discovered ruins there.
But they'd be like, the whole scenario is like the, you know, they spin it like they're gone, they died. But clearly they existed, there were people there, there was civilization, so, you know, aliens exist, but they're not here trying to kill us. So everyone can relax, you know, and that gets people time to acclimate to that idea.
Well, one of the hardest sells, I was talking with Chris Knowles about this, one of the hardest sells is going to be the whole AI robot race thing. Because that is going to freak some people out pretty goddamn badly. That's how advanced these guys are. That'll be a bit of a hard sell. But we have had, you know, C-3PO. We've had friendly droids put out there, too, to counteract the Cylon effect, if you will.
Yeah.
But in essence, you know, when you do the Cylons, that's talking about. This is a race of robots that are created by people, just like us, just people from someplace else, that do what they do, or like Gort in Day the Earth Stood Still. And there's every reason to believe that they are still entirely under human control and that they are anthropocentric and are programmed not to harm us. But they're also programmed to keep us from harming ourselves.
Yeah. Well, it seems that way in a sense. It seems like there's a conditioning process although it might just be also that we're on the horizon of developing these things ourselves. But it's like you see all this shit about – there was like an HBO show about robots. And you're seeing more stuff about AI, like, infiltrating the culture and robots.
Yes.
So
there's been a bit of a thrust on that lately, just in the last few months.
Yeah. That's what I'm noticing,
which I find
too.
Kind of interesting. And I do think that's part of the conditioning program.
Yeah, to get people ready for robots, because they could be the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of scary if you think about it. The implications are kind of scary. The reality isn't so much.
Yeah.
Ragweed.
I know. What's going on there?
It's ragweed.
Yeah, it's all that legal marijuana in Colorado. We all know what's going on, Bruce. How's that doing? We're going to have that here soon.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's doing extraordinarily well. One of my housemates works for the IRS. He loves, the IRS loves the pot industry. Those guys not only stay regular and make all their payments, they go overboard in reporting stuff that they have. They're extremely generous. They don't hide anything. Their books are perfect. They're the best-run industry in the state.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, they'll have stores here next summer. So.
Good deal.
I'll let you know how it goes.
I am very interested in hearing about that. I am positive that the four states that did implement it, Colorado being one, are a pilot program. The federal government said, okay, well, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And it's worked extremely well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure this is going to turn into like a national initiative eventually, soon.
Yeah.
With this,
if we can go to gay marriage and transgen, yeah, we're going to have legalized pot. It'll happen.
Yeah. Well, it's like medical marijuana. I think it's almost legal in every state, I bet. So it's, you know.
I would hope so.
I bet you there's maybe like three or four it's not, but I wish
the
all
the states in the South, maybe.
Yeah.
The South is kind of still stuck fighting the Civil War. They're never going to get out of it.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. Oh, man. We haven't talked about politics at all. I hasten to even bring it up, but what's your take on the current state of affairs here in America? As I mentioned before, I feel like there's a civil war going on between different factions in the, I hate to use the term because it's been overused now, like the deep state, you know?
The civil war in the government started with 9/11, intensified throughout the Bush administration down to purges of government bureaus and agencies like the FBI and the CIA on political party lines. It has continued quietly throughout the Obama administration. And when Trump came in, it lit a fire under it. Because Trump is a wild card, and he's openly professed hostility toward it. So I'm sure they're arm-twisting him into playing the neocon game, because that's really what it comes down to. And it remains to be seen exactly what's going to happen on that score.
Do you think he's going to be impeached or have to resign because of this Russian conspiracy?
No. I think that Paul Manafort may have some charges brought up against him. I think there's a big difference between Paul Manafort and Donald Trump and who exactly was doing what. I've never bought into the whole Russian boogeyman business. That's all Hillary and Podesta. Hillary just blames everyone except Hillary for her loss.
Yeah,
is
she's
what that comes
yeah.
down to. And when it comes, you really want to get down to it. Who was behind the Uranium One deal, for God's sake? That's the Clinton. And it's not like the Republicans didn't know about it. There were a lot of people signed off on it across party lines. So there's a whole lot of crap going on. And it's not like the Democrats weren't in touch with the Russians either. And they were the ones that were paying money to come up with the dossier. And we know that the guy who was leaking the stuff from the dossier, he was discredited very quickly, but that doesn't stay in the news. Where it all falls apart for me, if there's a case here, like the CIA, who does not like Trump and Trump doesn't like them. This is open. It's part of that civil war. All right. The head of the CIA insists we have evidence that Trump was colluding with the Russians to throw the election. Okay. Committee that was investigating this, he was a Republican, recused himself when he didn't have to, but just for appearance's sake, he recused himself. Nancy Pelosi got assigned that particular job. Nancy Pelosi is as Democrat as you can get. So, she goes to the head of the CIA and says, we understand that you have evidence that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians in order to throw the election. Yes. Show us that evidence. No. That won't work. We do not convict on hearsay, and your word is not good enough. Show us the evidence. You work for us. I have a higher need to know than you do. Show me that evidence. No. Okay. No evidence, no case. And as far as I was concerned, it was over right then.
All right. Well, we'll see how it unfolds, I guess. I think they're going to get him for a whole bunch of shit, but we'll see.
Well, technically, they could impeach him. They don't have to have legal grounds to impeach him. He does not have to have committed any kind of crime in order to be impeached. They can impeach him because they consider him either incompetent or, well, either mentally incompetent or just incompetent to handle a job. They can impeach him on those grounds.
Yeah, for sure.
That could have, I did not know that until like last week. I read about it. They could, but it's questionable whether they would. I'm really curious to see exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's like the greatest show on earth, but
yeah, I mean, if we were in England, they would have called a no confidence vote on him this month, and he'd be gone.
Oh, they can do that in England.
That's what they just do it that easy. You say, look, you're incompetent, you don't know what you're doing, and we're going to put someone else in.
We need a system like that. Although, given how tense everything is, they would just keep overthrowing leaders. That's part of it too. I think it's going to escalate.
It has its drawback.
Let's say they kick Trump out of office. Like the next time a Democrat gets the White House, they're going to try to do the same thing to them. It's going to be tit for tat.
They did with Clinton.
Yeah, exactly.
They did with Clinton.
Yeah, so now they've turned it around on Trump. It's going to get, you know, it'll keep getting worse, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, it's like if we have...
I basically see the witch hunt going on with the Russian thing on Trump as exactly the same thing as the witch hunt that was going on with Clinton. It's just a partisan witch hunt.
Yeah. The thing is, though, once they start one of those things, that's like how they got him with the Monica Lewinsky thing. It had nothing to even do with what they were supposed to be investigating him for in the first place. So it's like...
Yeah.
They could get Trump with some like tax evasion thing that has nothing to do with anything with Russians.
If they're going to nail him on some kind of legal grounds, they'll probably do the same thing that they did with Capone, the FBI. They'll find some other charge to go at him with. They'll find something they can actually make stick.
Yeah, and I figure he's done plenty of shady shit in his life. So.
Probably.
That seems like
God knows the Clintons did, and they stayed in power.
Yeah. So what else? I'm trying to think. So you haven't watched. Oh yeah, that's what I want to ask you about. You mentioned. You said you would watch Stranger Things if it was available, not on a streaming service.
Yeah.
So what, you don't have Netflix streaming?
No.
Why not?
I'm not really set up for it. I mean, I could get it. I just kind of resent paying extra money for the TV when I'm already paying exorbitant prices just to watch TV. It's like Star Trek, the new Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's like you can get it on CBS if you subscribe to their special streaming service, which is, I don't know, $10 a month or something. Look, I don't give a goddamn how good your show is. Your CBS, put it on the air or don't. But you don't tell me that, oh, I owe you a little bit more money to watch this. No, I don't. You make it available or not. You're making it available overseas, but you won't make it here.
Well, what about HBO?
I have HBO.
Well, Netflix is essentially HBO. It's like a whole, it's like its own channel.
Yeah, but that's just it. I'm paying for yet another channel.
I see. Okay.
They're all,
okay.
I don't want to encourage people to keep this up. It's going to happen eventually, but I try and discourage it as much as possible. It's like, look, everyone's going to be charging you that much more and that much more and that much more and that much more, and they add up.
Oh, for sure.
Like, look,
that's,
man,
what's going to happen. Yeah, they're going to make it more a la carte. So.
Well, if it goes full a la carte, that would be a different setup. But it's not full a la carte.
It's on its way there, though, is, I guess, the point.
When it does reach that, yeah, then that'll probably come out a little bit cheaper, and I'll be going for a lot of that stuff. But right now, it's just further add-ons. It's like, hey, man, look, I pay out the ass just to watch TV every month. Don't tell me I owe you more money for a network TV show, let alone a network TV show that overseas you are making available, you know, on disc. This is just ridiculous. Come on.
All right. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with Netflix, though.
Well, it's just another one of those services I don't want to subscribe to, yet another service.
Well, you should try it. Stranger Things is good. I don't know if you could – I guess they probably don't. I would look and see if you can get it on Amazon somehow. But I guess you wouldn't buy a show either on Amazon. Is that kind of the –
Well, someone told me about the – there's an Amazon stick that you can buy. I forget what it's called. That enables you to see pretty much all of them for free.
Yeah.
And even legally, depending how you do it. A friend of mine was telling me about that, and I thought about it. So the next time I talk to him, I may get into the stick and get on the stick, so to speak.
There you
and
go.
And start watching. Then I can watch Star Trek Discovery. I can watch Stranger Things. I can watch all that stuff.
You should just look on YouTube. A lot of people bootleg this shit anyway. It's not that hard to
find. Yeah. Because, sure, I would like to see them. I'm tired of being gouged.
Yeah, I guess. How much are you paying for cable? It's like turning into a cable career.
Not. It's like $190 a month.
Yeah, it
and
is
that's,
ridiculous.
You know, everything.
Yeah.
That's everything.
And they don't let you, like, get a different package. They only have, like, two or three, you know. It's quite expensive, yeah.
Yeah, the package is pretty simple. You need to go with basic cable, which does cover a hell of a lot. That's a lot of flipping channels, and they are good. If you throw on HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, Encore, all those things, those are separate. And come in various packages. You get all of them clumped together, it runs for like $189 a month.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of money to watch TV. To
it
watch
is.
TV that used to be free. And before it was deregulated by Clinton, was actually pretty affordable. It used to be like $30 a month, and that was if you got all premium channels.
Yeah, that's true. It used to be really cheap. Now it's like...
It's
well, I mean,
you're
getting 500 channels now, right? Isn't that what they promised us?
Well, that
one
is
of the
true,
few things,
and you know
that,
they're not lying.
If you think about it, like, we have no flying car and shit, but we do have 500 channels.
Well, and they're not lying about that. You really do. And
yeah,
I have
yeah.
to say this. They're good channels. I mean, there is a lot of crap in there, but there are a hell of a lot of good channels. If you can't find something to watch at any time of day or night, and especially if you've got on-demand, which, wow, do I like on-demand. If you can't find something to watch any time of day or night, any time of year, there's something wrong with you, because believe me, it's available. So I do have to say that for the exorbitant amount of money that they charge, I can watch pretty much anything I want, except the separate services that want to gouge me more.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't look at it that way, though. Netflix is like a studio. It's just there, you know. It's hard to explain, I guess. But they make a lot of fucking shows and shit. They have more. I think they have more original shows than, you know.
They do, but this is the problem. I would be buying that service to watch one show. It's going to have, I don't know, 6-7 episodes.
All right. That's true. I barely use it myself, but I do. I don't know why I'm advocating for it, but it seems like it's a viable vehicle for a lot of content. So I think you would like it. They have like a whole series of Do you like Marvel, or are you only a DC guy?
I like Marvel.
They
no
have like a whole
much
series
much DC,
of shows
like
and shit tied into the Marvel thing. So
yeah, Marvel's good. Marvel makes better movies than DC on the whole by a country
mile. That seems
mile.
To be the case. Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
I do have to say, however, that the DC TV shows are a hell of a lot of fun. I like them a lot, and their animated movies are great.
Yeah, they do seem to have a better animated sort of division.
Yeah, they go all out with the animated. That's some good shit.
Yeah.
What do you think of all these superheroes being so popular nowadays?
I love superheroes, so I don't have a problem with it. I do kind of find it funny. It's been that way for quite a few years now. Superheroes are a big, big business.
Yeah.
All of those, if you stop and think about it, they're all basically propaganda shows. They're basically military shows when it comes right down to it. But that doesn't mean I don't like them. In fact, I like them a lot. They're very flag-waving, you know, we protect our country, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
honor,
that's true.
The American way.
Yeah, that is true. It's interesting when you think about that, but yeah, yeah. And they kind of came along, like, at the time when propaganda would have kind of arisen in a big way here in America.
It was through the Bush and Obama administration, and suddenly, bam, superheroes everywhere.
Well, people like their superheroes, I guess.
I do. I have fun with them every day.
On the game you play there?
Oh, hell yeah. I got to get Superman back up on top on a spotlight battle. And as soon as I get 5 transitional arenas in one set, I will have that score back.
All right. You should get into this esports thing, man. I know you people keep telling you that, but I'm joining in the chorus of people.
Yeah, I know I need to do that because I could find sponsors.
I'll sponsor you, yeah.
I am that good. There are people who will corporate sponsor. They'll actually pay some money to see you throw down. That's why everyone's saying, hey, man, you need to do this. Because I am. I'm on top every damn list. There are very few people who even compete with me. I mean, really. When it comes down to scores.
You need to compete with some of these people online, though. I mean, that's where they... Because you're not playing those people.
Yeah, I need to compete
people.
With them online.
Yeah.
I definitely need to compete with them online.
Yeah. Let me know what happens. I'm intrigued. I'm laughing because it's like you should be doing this.
It. It's just another one of those things. Like, you know, they didn't used to charge us for this shit. And I was like, oh, you know, $10 a month, sure, you can do it. Like, come on. The big problem is if you pay the $10 a month and you're available to go online, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to find an online fight. You know, depending on what time you're there, you can put yourself open for an online fight and you may or may not get one.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Not to mention, if you've got a really good record, and I do, they post the odds.
Oh.
People are not going to want to fight, you know, the top guy. So there's that little problem, too. When it was free, I had trouble getting online with people. I've never gotten into an online fight with someone when I was able to, trying to. I need someone to help me figure out how to get that done because I was just never able to hook up with somebody.
Strange.
And it wasn't for lack of trying.
It's outside my realm of knowledge, so I don't know anything about this video game. People really mention it a lot, though, Injustice. That's your game?
Oh, God, yeah. It's so much fun. Like, you can't have more fun than fighting with Bizarro or Harley Quinn. It's just too much of a kick in the pants.
How many characters are there in it?
Right now, there are 35. They're releasing 3 more over the next 3 months.
Interesting. And it's like Mortal Kombat.
Yep. I think it works better than Mortal Kombat, actually. But I'm used to its system, so. I have Mortal Kombat 40.
Yeah, I kind of Googled it, and I'm looking at some of this. Interesting. But they don't have a game where you can have Marvel fight DC yet, huh?
They did have one for Marvel and Capcom that was on PS3. That was fun.
Yeah.
In fact, some of those survived in that gateway game that I was playing, Marvel versus Capcom versus SNK2. There were these two different groups that merged and allowed you to fight the characters against the other franchise. Among those were a couple of Marvel characters, as I recall.
Yeah, but not a straight up. There's no like straight up game where they can fight each other, right?
No, not yet.
See,
the Marvel versus DC, yeah, that would be a kick in the pants.
That would be huge.
Yeah, they really should do that.
Well, comic
sure
books
like
are in weird shape, I guess. I was reading about comic books. They're not really... the industry's in rough shape, even though you'd think that they... I guess Disney bought Marvel, so it's like the industry is really just... The art form, I guess, is in tough, rough shape.
Well, and Disney, being true to form, you're no longer going to be able to watch Star Wars anyway, except to subscribe to their service to watch it.
Oh, no, dude. What are you going to do in this ever-changing world of having to subscribe to shit? What are you going to do, Bruce?
when they make it less expensive.
They're not going to, dude. They're only going to make it more expensive.
Yeah, well, I'll just miss them, I guess.
They got to come up with, like, some of these places need to team up, like a Netflix and I'm thinking about canceling, somehow figuring out a way to downgrade my tier and get rid of HBO, and then I'll pay the $10 a month for the HBO Go. I feel like that's, I think I'd still somehow save money.
Yeah, possibly. It's just kind of a headache, and I don't want to have to keep switching things and switching things back and switching things another way.
I don't know what it's like in your town, but I heard if you call your cable company and you say, look, this is way too much money. You guys are killing me, and I'm either going to cancel it or switch to a different cable company. Then they'll be like, oh, hold on, let me check your plan or whatever. Then they come back and be like, okay, we can shave off $50.
I got that. This is what I pay with reduction.
Oh.
Yeah, they actually gave me a substantial reduction. As a matter of fact, I can renegotiate with them May maybe or June? Because it was 2 years ago that I signed a contract with them.
Yeah. Well, keep trying, man.
I am very happy with what I've got. I have to say that. I had the chance to switch to DirecTV.
You seem like someone who'd be ideal for cord cutting, man. Like getting
for
rid of cable
company?
Altogether and just paying like $50 a month. If you just buy the internet, you can watch all the channels. They all have their own thing, like that CBS thing.
Right.
I thought you would get that if you were a cable subscriber anyway. You have to still pay extra to get their channel.
Well, something like Netflix, I mean, it's a separate thing. Netflix isn't part of the cable.
Right.
So I'm not sure what exactly you're asking.
I guess what I'm saying is if you cancel your cable, but you still have internet, you have internet through the cable company?
Yeah.
Then you can use your cable, then that should give you access to all the channels online anyway. That's the impression I'm under.
Well, for some it should, but I'm sure they have blocks for others.
Yeah.
And that's like the stick that I was talking about. The stick will give you access to everything. And it's not even really illegal. It's kind of like copying discs. You can copy discs legally even though it's illegal. You know, if someone hits you on it, you just say, well, look, I did this. And I'm making a backup disc. You can do that.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And they're not going to come after you anyway. The technology is available and you can get it and you can watch it. And I know people that do. So, yeah, I'm probably going to end up going that route because it's not that expensive. And you get access to everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep us posted on that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it's almost midnight here, and I'm kind of running out of steam, so we'll wrap it up here. I can't thank you enough, man. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I think I'm going to go out to Village Inn and have a nice Thanksgiving dinner, and I'll probably have some turkey pot pie here. And drink a hell of a lot of beer and watch a lot of movies.
Nice. What do you have planned? What movies? What do you have on tap this year?
Not sure yet. This is one of those instances where I may go to On Demand to just see what's there because I usually find some really good stuff there. I've got to get caught up on Stand Against Evil. I've missed the whole season so far, but I'm going to catch up on it. I have to catch up on Arrow. There are a couple series I need to catch up on I have available to me.
Nice. All right. Sounds like you have a fun day ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a good time.
I always love Thanksgiving. I feel bad about Thanksgiving. It's getting squeezed out by Halloween and Christmas. I noticed it a lot this year. It's bullshit. That's why I'm glad we still celebrate the holiday.
You know what kills me? Before Halloween, the week before Halloween, like Hallmark Channel started showing nothing but Christmas movies.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's awful, dude.
And they've been showing nothing but Christmas movies from then until you know they're going to be doing it all the way through Christmas. Like, man, this is all you've got? And everyone's hitting the Christmas thing before Halloween hit.
Yeah, it's particularly bad this year, I find. I think that we're going to get hit with, like, a blizzard of Christmas on Friday. We're going to get hit with, like, a Christmas blizzard from Friday over the whole weekend till Monday, this whole Cyber Monday. Because they moved,
yep.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but they moved, they've stretched the sale out now. Like, a lot of ads I saw this week, this is like, you know, it's not just Black Friday, it's the whole week now.
Yep.
So come in before Thanksgiving and get savings on this, that, and the other thing. And it's like they're stretching this shit even further back.
God will bury us for being godless capitalists.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, man. I never see anything I really, like, want to go out of my way to grab on when these sales come up. I always feel like, oh, is there something wrong with me? Like, I don't want any of this shit.
Well, I got to tell you, a PS4 is well worth the investment. That thing is so much damn fun.
All right.
I would never have gotten one if it hadn't been for my housemates having PS3s and my getting hooked on the fighting game. I wouldn't have gotten the PS4. And that PS4, oh, my God, that was worth the investment.
Right.
Easily worth the investment. It's tons of fun. I mean, there are so many games. I bought the Ultimate Lara Croft, which I haven't even touched yet. I've got it all downloaded, and I've been so busy with Injustice, I haven't gotten around to it. But I'm sure I'll have fun.
So you haven't even played this game yet, and you bought it?
Yeah, I bought it, and I haven't even played it yet.
Jesus, Bruce.
But it's there. It's waiting for me.
All right.
That's what I'll do Thanksgiving. I'm going to jump into that.
There you go. All right. I wish I shared your love of games, but I never really got into games too much.
You would get hooked.
I know. I have a very addictive personality, so I try to avoid things I know that could become addictive, which is almost a lot of things, but, you know, tattoos. I don't have a tattoo because I know if I got one, I'd turn into a tattoo maniac within, like, 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not into tattoos. They just don't do anything for me. You know, it's funny, women with scars don't bother me at all. Tattoos, I'm just not into.
Yeah, well, scars are a whole different story, but, yeah. Tattoos is like you have to pretty much go out and get one. And to me now, it's so fucked up, and it's like, as I get older, I almost have a sense of pride now that I've gotten this far and I've not gotten a tattoo. Because it's like,
yep.
I know so many people that more people I think I know have them that don't.
I've had people bug me to get a tattoo, and then I don't want a tattoo. I don't want something permanently on me.
Yeah, it is. I'm always, yeah, the permanence of it is what bothers me, too, because I'm sort of a tinkerer, so I wouldn't never really be happy with it, I think.
Right.
Like, it would drive me, some little thing about it would drive me crazy. And I would just.
But maybe I was really into this today, or this year, or even this decade, but I better get older. And it's going to fade, and it'll still be there.
Yeah, maybe the appeal is the nostalgia of it or something. I don't know. I don't know. It never resonated with me. So, oh, man. This is Rucksgiving, folks. Bruce, I can't thank you enough, man. I hope you have an awesome holiday. You know, it's been great. I should say I told you before the show started, and you were down for it, of course. I got a lot of questions from people about this, and they were like, oh, is this the last Rucksgiving? And it's not. I have no plans to stop Rucksgiving. We'll keep doing these, you know, for as long as me and Bruce feel like doing them. You know,
I'll do them as long as people want them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, after season 10 wraps up, so don't freak out. And because, you know, people actually listen to this and enjoy it around the holidays, so I'd feel like a real heel if we stopped doing it now.
Well, I'm performing a public service then. I'm very glad.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I guess at that, man, thank you very much, and I'll be in touch, you know, after the holidays. We'll put our heads together about this book thing and figure out how to get it into people's hands.
Please, I'd love it.
Awesome, brother. All right, man. Well, on that note, thank you again. Have a great holiday, and I will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You too.